Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
It's sci-fi and squeeze, Jim, but not as we know it.
On Joy 94.9.
One station in all the world, a chosen station.
To boldly go where no show has gone before.
Sci-fi and Squeam.
On Joy
embarrassing because it's over a very delicate part of your body. I'm very sorry. 9-9. Hello, I'm Peter Davison. I can't even say my own name now. Hello, I'm Peter Davison. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Thank you.
Indeed, this is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. And I want to say thanks to the guys from Catching Up for another excellent show. And tonight we also have a bit of a fun time with looking at conventions and fanny things or fan fiction. Well, actually fan art. I shouldn't say fan fiction. but things that fans do in the bump in the night. And I have here to help me, I've got Mark Huntington. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me yet again.
It is great to have you here.
No, that really track is. Was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, that was called... basically, what was it called? Cheap Shot, just part of it, from Sharan. Okay, now we had those guys in the studio, part of a chiptune event that happened back in, I think it was November of last year.
Right.
Here in Melbourne, Batmania, the wonderful Batmania. Yes, so it was excellent to have such diversity in here. And they do it all themselves. They download all these free tunes and then create these interesting masterpieces.
Yeah, sounds like you're playing the most awesome video game
ever.
Ever, yeah.
And, of course, in the background, we've got the wonderful music from games developer and musician, and that is Terence Lee. So great shout-out to him. He's always in the background, actually. Oh, Terence? He's based in San Fran, Cisco as well, as a matter of fact. But tonight's show, like I said, is a bit about the fans, and it's called How the Fans Were Won, Part 1.
Oh, Part 1.
Part 1, I know, Mark. Don't get too excited. So we have an interview.
So we can't give away the ending.
No, we can't. No. It might not be a happy one. But we've got Supernova Melbourne 2013 to chat about. We've got an interview with the one and only from DC Comics, apart from other things, Gail Simone. We also have some comedy festival guys called Nerdgasm, and that is... is RV and Luke, and we'll be chatting to them a bit later. But Mark Huntington from Art Boy Gallery is the live person in the studio. It's good to have you here, and you're going to be talking to us a bit about what you get up to when you're hanging things on walls.
On walls.
But also about fan art and your opinion about it, and because you have been involved with it for probably quite some time now.
Yeah, I did a quick count today, and our upcoming exhibition in May will be our 10th fan art exhibition.
I know. Right.
So, yeah, we started them off just as a little seed of an idea that in our first few months of opening the gallery, we always wanted to sort of, you know, do group exhibitions, but a little bit more different than most sort of galleries where they just sort of, you know, just ask anybody to submit any old work in, you know, we knew the market we were sort of targeting, and plus we also knew our artists and the work that they sort of produced. And some of the artists had been, you know, on the side, you know, on their own blogs and stuff, had been sort of like dabbling in, you know, drawing fan art.
I did a bit of fan art tonight, didn't I?
Yeah, it was awesome.
On the fan book. I was going to say fan book face.
On the face page.
On the happy face place.
Yeah, so, and that was the thing. And it's sort of like, oh my God, that's so awesome. Just like this 5-minute, you know, quick sketch of, I think it was, Craig Bruin, who we'd signed to the gallery, but he'd also, you know, done a few sort of sketches of Big Daddy from the BioShock games.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, oh, my God, that's so cool. And once you just dive and delve into the world of, you know, online fan art, it's, like, massive.
Mm, so why did you go into this venture? I mean, it's your background. I don't think I've asked you this, but
no, we
as an artist?
No, I've just worked in galleries since...
Since you could reach for a hammer and nail.
Since I could, you know, critique something.
Yeah.
It was, I got my first job in my last year of high school in a framing store in Chadstone when it was about a tenth the size that it is today.
What, the store? Chadstone?
Chadstone, yeah.
So you mean the super duper, yeah.
Yeah, back then it was just super, but now super it's like duper. A mega cobber globber place.
Mega cashacopolis.
I think that's the term for it. And so, like, I'd always, you know, so I was like about 17 then.
Yeah.
And so that sort of part-time job after work sort of cut my teeth on a whole lot of areas of framing and selling art and handling art, conservation framing, limited edition prints, and original works. And then every job I had after that, my knowledge just sort of grew and grew and grew. Cut to, 2007, or just before that, you know, ended up sort of like the last place I managed. We sort of dealt with and sold a lot more just local artists' work. And so my partner and I went, excuse me, my partner and I went up to Brisbane for a couple of years to see what that was like.
Yeah.
And then it was one of those things where you sort of turn a certain age and you just go, all right,
21.
Well, yeah, again, I'm like, man, it feels like I've been working for 20 odd years. And then we just sort
child
of
labor.
You just sort of sit down and you sort of think, okay, well, where do we want to go? And with all this knowledge that I've got and all these, you know, artists that I know and you sort of think, I think we could possibly maybe open up our own gallery. After all these years of knowledge and give it a go. And then I think the perfect thing is to, with your own business, you can shape it into anything that you want. And it might challenge what a lot of people, you know, define a gallery by, but we sort of came up with a model that we wanted to have affordable.
It's like a online community gallery that's a gallery. It's bizarre. I'll just leave that statement like that. If you went to Supernova on the weekend, let us know what you thought, what you got up to, and who did you stalk in a fan, geek, love sort of way. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Sci-Fi and Squeam. Squeam. I'll squeam and squeam and squeam. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9 with the big squeamer himself.
At Supernova
Dr. Number 8.
2013. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Hi, how's everybody doing out there?
I think they're doing fine, and you've got a lot to do with it, Gail, in our universe down here in Melbourne. We broadcast from an LGBTIQ radio station, the one of its kind in Australia.
Well, that's exciting.
So we're very excited and pleased about some of the recent news and developments for yourself, your career and your advocacy and everything. I mean, I'll shut up now and let you talk.
I'm really excited that the industry is moving forward and we're showing a lot more diversity in comic books than we ever have before, and with the recent addition of Alicia in Batgirl, where she came out as transgender to Barbara Gordon in issue 19. And the response has been so amazing. I have been crying on and off for a couple of days now, just because of people telling me or posting publicly their personal stories about it and how they reacted when they read this particular issue of Batgirl and how they were finally able to see that a hero had a friend that was like them, that they could recognize in that. And it just makes me feel really good to be able to make a connection with people to show that there's more in the world, more in our audience than just, you know, straight white guys, for instance. So it's just been an amazing experience for me just to hear the different experiences from other people.
And what inspired you to decide to create a character like that?
There's several things. First of all, you know, I was a comic book reader and fan growing up as a young girl. And you kind of, when you don't see what you recognize in the things you're reading, you sort of either try to fill in the blanks or wish that they were there. You know, you watch, like, I really connected with Wonder Woman on one level, but on another level, there were pieces that just weren't there for me, so I kind of write them in my own head. And that's strictly because it wasn't on the page at that time. When I came into the industry, I had sort of like a little secret agenda in that I wanted to create more diverse female characters for the industry because I knew that was lacking. Well, it quickly, you know, came to my attention that we needed more diversity in all areas and not just for female characters alone. We needed more ethnicities, we needed people from other places in the world, from other occupations, other sexual orientations, everything. And, you know, to look out at an audience as diverse as the comic book audience is and then look at what we were producing is just not right. And that's what inspired me. The audience inspired me.
Yes, that's fantastic. Good to get a realistic, more grounded character, not some whimsical fantasy sort of character when it comes to sexual diversity and gender diversity. And I congratulate congratulate on you doing something realistic.
Well, that's one thing that's really nice about the Batgirl book is it can be pretty grounded and we can have some real, true, three-dimensional characters as part of the supporting cast. And Alicia is a very big part of the book. After all, she's Barbara Gordon's roommate, you know, a very strong part of her life, and they've become really good friends. I think that this is also reflecting a lot of what's happening with you know, that age of people today in the world. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm excited to give it some reality, which I know is a weird word to say, but it's great to have these other trans characters that were introduced in the past, but to leave them with a magical element or a shape-shifting element, it's just not quite the same thing as telling a more realistic portrayal of a trans character and trans life.
And I think you're right. I think you've really hit a great target there and expanded the universe and expanded the audience, and just the social media, the response, as you were saying earlier, has been fantastic, extremely positive. Did you expect that?
I've been in the industry for a while. I've done a lot of things that some people would consider controversial, and so I expect a certain amount of it, but I do not care. I expect a certain amount of negativity, and there has been some negative reactions about Alicia and having a trans character in a mainstream comic, but I literally, that does not bother me, and it does not mean that we shouldn't do it, and that this character should not exist. There's always going to be a certain percentage of the audience that is strictly not going to like anything I do because I'm a strong female voice, and I hate to put it that simply, but I've just learned over the years that that's just the truth. So to be bothered by that would, you know, not really make sense in my life, put it that way. There are things that are right. There are things that are human, and that's what I do, things that are honest. And to shy away or back away from that because someone might not like it is just not what I'm about and not what I think the industry should be about, what storytelling should be about.
Well, you're a very strong figure in, I think, the comic community throughout the world, and your recent stand and the controversy about, you know, the famous tweets that you did a few months back. We all know about that, of course, the DC situation. But it just brings up the whole idea of a woman's place in that universe. And I think you've done an awful lot. You may not know it yet, but I think the effects you've had have been incredibly positive for females.
I don't tend to sit around and think about that. You know, personally, it's more when people bring it to my attention. But one story that I really did like and feel good about was I had a young woman who worked in a comic book store, and she worked in the comic book store about 10 years ago. And she said that from 10 years ago, which is about when I started writing comic books, she said, you can gradually see the customers coming into the regular retail comic book store making a huge shift and becoming way more diverse. And it's not just because of me. I believe it's because of the internet as well. But to even be part of that movement, because I know how out of place I felt going into a comic book store for many years and even hiding the fact that I read comics, but just to see that the industry opening up is just a really wonderful thing, I think, for everyone.
Thank you so much for talking to us on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Hi, this is Gail Simone, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Claire Kramer, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on 94.9. Thank
you. Yeah. Thanks very much.
Yeah,
thanks. Yeah. That was Claire Kramer, and that's from a previous incarnation of a convention I went to a couple of years ago, another supernova convention, back in 2010, I think it was, the good days, the good old days. Now, that was also Shirley Bassey with Never, Never, Never. Reason I played that, why? Mark, can you figure out why I might have? Because it mentions love and hate and love to hate and women's ways and women's thoughts and feelings and emotions, and we are an emotional bunch of crazies.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we've got people like Gail Simone batting on our side, literally batting with Batgirl, as well as now Wonder Woman, and now, for the very first time in comic history, a reality-based transgender character called Alyssa in Batgirl as Barbara Gordon's roommate, and that's got to be good. That's a good, positive thing.
As I said, everything, you know, things just start with all it takes is just one thing to start, and things will, you know, change.
Yeah,
and
the domino or something.
Yeah, exactly. Effect. Absolutely.
Let's hope so. So we were very fortunate to speak to Gail Simone, one of the very important writers at DC Comics. And I think I mentioned, and just briefly mentioned off air to you there, Mark, that she's done a lot in the last almost 25 years that she has been involved in comics. She's gone from a comic fan, a comic reader, not feeling very confident about herself as a woman, as a female, and has gone into the industry with an objective and her agenda. She said, I have an agenda. She said that to me. And the agenda is to get diversity, gender equality, sexual equality, all of those good things, to get those represented and those people, all of us represented, in comics, in mainstream comics, like DC for the first time. And that comes from her Woman in the Refrigerator days back in 1999, when she decided with a lot of other women that they would take on the comics industry, the mainstream industry, with putting their own spin on feminism. And I think she's doing a pretty good job.
It's pretty good.
Fantastic and awe-inspiring. Now, we will be, of course, playing the full interview that we had with Gail from Supernova this year on the weekend. We'll be podcasting that full interview in a few days' time. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This is K9. You are listening to Joy. Correct. That is perfectly correct. Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 949. That's it. Excellent. Quite correct.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Thank you, K9, also known as the wonderful John Gleason, who was out here a couple of weekends ago for another mini convention. So there's heaps of wonderful fan stuff out there when you dig around in Melbourne. We're spoiled. We really are. We've just had Supernova. We had First Contact conventions with the Time Lords, Lords of Time, I think it was. And we spoke about that last week with John Richards on the show here on Sci-Fi and Squeam. And then we've got more. We've got Oz Comic Con coming up. There's Continuum, which is more for the academic type of sci-fi geek and speculative fiction geek, with local writers in science fiction and fantasy and so on. And then later on down the track, Armageddon in Melbourne. So it's busy busyness. And don't forget Manifesto for cos geeks, for cosplaying geeks. We all love them and their dress up, which is fantastic.
It's just the best time sort of driving around the city and seeing everybody all just on their way to conventions.
Yeah, it's like, not a sporting convention. Awesome. It's very exciting.
I know. They can have their football jerseys.
They can have it and eat it too if they want to. Now we've got a bit of nerdgasm.
Oh, hello.
Can't do that every day. Now, this is a tragic comedy. No, this is a geek comedy of interesting proportions, gaming proportions, actually. Blernshaw Comedy presents Nerdgasm. It's part of the comedy festival, of course, here in Melbourne that's still going on. And I believe they're running right across April till the 21st of April. So check that out. Here they are. Here are the boys from Nerdgasm. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Okay, this is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. And we have a couple of very intriguing special guests in the studio with us. We've got Arvi Burnshaw, welcome, and Luke Bleaser. So tell us about the show. Look, it's comedy festival season. It's the high season of laughs and frivolity and frolicking, and Melbourne is saturated and invaded by people who think they're funny and comedians.
Because this is the sci-fi show, we're actually going to be talking about our third show, which is called Nerdgasm. The whole premise of which is two retro video game characters looking back on life and trying to figure out where it all went wrong 15 years after their games have left the genre and sitting around doing this in a...
Of course, there's parental issues. We bring up backstory of the characters a little. I'm playing Bison from Street Fighter, who has at some point come to grips with the fact that all the rage and hate that led him to be a hideous dictator was actually repressed homosexuality.
Yes.
I'm playing the rival out of the original Pokemon game, more commonly known as Blue, but in the cartoon known as Gary, who basically tries to figure out where he is and what the hell he's doing at any given moment, because he's a complete idiot.
Okay, so there's a real nerdy, geeky theme.
I don't think 30 seconds goes by without us dropping like a reference to another video game.
It was once referred to as the most out-of-place, esoteric pop culture reference comedy that anyone had ever seen, and to the point that we actually have hardcore nerds walk in and go, I didn't get that one. Did you? No, I got the one before that. I didn't get this reference. Oh. Sorry, it's really nerdy.
You have to know the games that you're talking about, and the least last 15 years, probably.
A lot of the games were AAA titles, still are AAA titles, so there are a lot of very obvious references, Final Fantasy, Legend of Zelda, that kind of thing. But we've also got a couple of the old school ones that are, fairly vague, like some old LucasArts titles.
Yeah, but we made sure that the underlying
may
story...
May they rest in peace. I think.
Disney! We tried to make sure that the underlying storyline actually had a lot of story arcs, like looking back at parents and developments into gay culture and that sort of thing, that would actually be humorous regardless of who was in the audience. So we tried to make it very nerd-orientated, but still accessible to outwards audiences.
Mm. Ooh. Did you say gay culture? Sorry. Yeah. Or game culture?
Game.
I said gay
culture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bison's come out of the closet halfway through the show. Actually, I'm gay to his oldest friend and sort of creates a bit of awkward
circumstance. Is this the dancing that you mentioned off air? Is this
that's a separate show that we're actually performing called Up Late, where we had a boylesque performer, but it turns out that he's actually out on a farm this week and unable to dance for us.
Nerdgasm. Okay, look, it sounds amazing. Like, this is the video game comedy that we had to have.
Mm. We're even hoping that next year we can build on it, have a sequel, Nerdgasm 2.1.3 Jelly Leopard.
Right, with Bruce Willis in it, no.
Oh, well, we're hoping a cameo by Bill Murray.
See, I was hoping for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He is known as a crasher. He does crash things.
I was hoping for Arnold Schwarzenegger because then, you know, at least one of the three of us would make any sense whatsoever.
Tell us more about the show. I mean, that's what we need to chat about.
Yes.
Don't we? Yes.
I believe that's why we're here originally.
Yeah.
True.
Well, basically, it's...
Where was it birthed from?
Well, born from? Like most guys, you know, who are in their 20s, we spend far too much time just piss-farting around on consoles and, you know, and gaming.
Twiddling things, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like grabbing the joystick and giving a good
yank.
Is
it the vibrations? Is that what's... the attraction, part of the attraction, is the tactile...
No, I don't like the vibrations
sense.
Because I don't feel that that's natural. The way it all came about was, Avi and I were trying to figure out the concept for writing a new show. So at the point where we were telling a hell of a lot of very, very stupid jokes about our favourite old retro video games, we started crowning and gave man birth, as one might say. To this horrible, horrible concept.
I've got this mental image of Danny DeVito all of a sudden.
I am not giving birth
twins.
To Danny DeVito.
Twins! Him and Arnie.
But, so we were just sort of lots of terrible old school jokes, you know, video game based puns. And then we realized that, you know, if you just got some characters who are bitching about life and the fact that a lot of video game characters already get sort of mashed together in a lot of the fanfic, it wouldn't actually be that hard to put together an entire show, which is why when I say that we're hoping to make a sequel, that wasn't exactly a joke. We actually really think this one's got some legs and we could probably continue it later.
Yeah. Well, they say that the second one's always the better one.
Yes.
And they're most often wrong after the sequel has
come out.
Don't
do a prequel, whatever you do.
Take that,
don't
Elder
go
Brothers.
Prequel.
Oh, can we do a prequel?
Do a prequel, actually.
Yeah. Do you know what the prequel would
third
be?
Third prequel.
Nerdgasm Prime?
No, I think the prequel, because these are based on two guys out of
Baby
video
Gasm.
Games, we just set up two consoles, and the audience just come in and play, and then we just take their money.
Well, this is the second time that we're doing it. We did it for Fringe Festival last year, where someone from Crikey said that the entire thing was just obscure and unenjoyable, which...
I think that's good. I mean, Crikey,
good. I was going to say...
Crikey, that's good.
For a news site that should be spending most of its time concentrating on politics, I'm actually quite amazed that they had time to do anything related to the arts or gaming.
Where is it being...
It's being held at Fad Gallery, a wonderful Fad Gallery in Coors Lane down in Chinatown. Beautiful little venue, gorgeous, up on
third the floor. And just reiterating that cosplayers will get in at concession rates and preferable seating and, preferable chat up after the show.
Now, okay, Avi and Luke, good luck.
Thank you.
With Nerdgasm.
Thank you kindly.
It's great to have you on the show on Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Charisma Carpenter, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on 94.9.
Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Of course, you're here for Supernova. It's a fantastic, huge convention. We're looking at about 50,000 people, I think, today.
Oh, really?
You were Feely, of course, for The Hobbit. Can you tell us about that?
There's so much to say about it. These jobs, a job like this sort of, it really comes around very rarely, if at all.
Unless you live in New Zealand.
Well, yeah, but even then, it's 18 months working on this massive epic movie, and experience is very hard to sort of put into words because it's so unique, I think.
So all three have been shot now?
No, we still have some pickups left to shoot for the third film and maybe a little bit of the second film. The big action sequence. Sorry, I saw it. Someone's dressed as my character.
Oh,
excellent.
Oh,
yeah, we got the majority of the battle scene in the third movie to shoot. And who knows what that'll entail. You know, I'm sure knowing Peter, there'll be some kind of something amazing.
Right. So working with Peter Jackson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's really extraordinary guy, and he's very creative, and he's so passionate about making movies. He just wants to make movies and shoot all the time. I think if he could get away with not sleeping, he would shoot throughout the day, you know, and into the night. That is really infectious, being around that on set, because it's very inspiring, I think.
Of course, your role as Anders in The Almighty Johnsons.
Yeah. That's great. I'm surprised. There's more people in Australia that have seen it than I thought. I didn't, you know, you do a job and I'm never quite sure where it ends up being seen, but there's quite a few people here that have seen it.
Season 3 now?
Yeah, we're just about to finish season 3 now. We've got about a month left of shooting.
Any word up of what happens for your character?
Yes, but I can't say. I can't say anything without...
You can't whisper it? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I can say it, make you forget it. Yeah, it's actually quite hard to talk about the third season because it would all be a spoiler, really. There's a lot of stuff gets answered.
Do you want to be a dwarf? You can be a dwarf if you want. Are you a character or your name?
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
That's it.
On Joy, okay. Hi, my name's Dino Gorman and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Fantastic, thank you. Great.
Hello, this is Sci-Fi and Squeam on 94.9 with Tegan Javanka from Doctor Who.
And this is Sci-Fi and Squeam. Conventions. Of course, that was Dean Gorman, O'Gorman, I should say, the Kiwi actor who's played Feely. And that's from The Hobbit, Peter Jackson's The Hobbit, the first installment. Of course, you'll be in the next two as well, especially if you know those books. Well, that book,
that
the
book.
Little book. It's only a tiny
book.
The very short book. And that was lovely to talk to him because he's also Anders, who whispers naughty things and makes people, women, controls women with his whisperiness.
Hmm.
Naughty man. And that's from The Almighty Johnsons, which is a great Kiwi supernatural, fantastical TV series. Mark Huntington is in the studio.
I'm here.
Have you seen The Almighty Johnsons?
No, I've heard it.
You've heard of it.
No, I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it.
So
you're missing out.
Oh.
You really are. It's very low budget because they don't have the Peter Jackson budget, obviously. But it's pretty effective and it's a great family drama, soap opera, and they just happen to be incarnated Norse gods living in Henderson, just south of Auckland, of course. Southwest of Auckland. But anyway, Nerdgasm. The boys from Nerdgasm, Arvi and Luke, and the Blernshaw comedy. That's for all you nerds who love a bit of gaming instruction and taking the pee out of those sort of things. So
boys,
enjoy that.
Boys
you
and
must.
Their consoles.
And boys and their joysticks and consoles. Now we've had Gail Simone, we've heard Nerdgasm, a bit of Shirley Bassey, Dino Gorman. What next? Talking to Mark about something else that's dear to the heart of the fan of sci-fi and genre, and that is pictorial images.
Yes.
Well, known as art. I want to ask Mark Huntington, who is a expert in these things, what do you think makes fan art? Art made by fans.
Art made by fans.
What is it? What makes it?
It's a dedication. It's paying homage to something that somebody is just passionate about. I mean,
but what makes it different?
What makes it different? Mm. It's purely because it's just a replication of an image. So you know, if you love stormtroopers, then you will draw a stormtrooper or Princess Leia or anything. So
it is Princess Leia, isn't it?
Look, I'm not saying much, but one of us may or may not be dressing up as Princess Leia for our ladies' night opening.
Oh.
But we haven't locked that down yet.
No.
But look, fan art, it's basically just art in any of its mediums, created by just an artist, which is obviously different because it's based on a pop culture reference or video games and comic books and any sort of character-based work that people will instantaneously sort of go, that's so-and-so or Sonic.
But what makes it, for you, fan art? I mean, would you, for example... have you got a favourite? Have you ever seen ones that really you go, wow, this is a obsessed fan? Any of you, actually?
No. I haven't been sort of... I haven't had to hang a... Oh, no, in saying that, I have had to hang a illustration of myself in our gallery, but it was part of an exhibition. The good thing about fan art is that there's no judgment, and I think that's one of the really good things about it. It's pure, and it is just, as I said, it's based on just passion for something. So you can never really say that something's good or bad, because you're then sort of judging somebody's beliefs in something. So if you know, somebody's Batman or Spider-Man is the best they can produce,
then that's
what it is. I mean, we've never had to, in all of the exhibitions, we've never had to, apart from one piece of work I've sort of decided not to include. It just probably wasn't... It wasn't really hangable, but apart from that, I mean, as far as... It wouldn't have sort of stood up against, some of the other paintings. But that's the thing about the fan art shows. It's just... It's open to everybody, from, professional artists right through to would-be artists or wannabe artists and hobby artists and people who just...
Well, tell us a favourite, though. What's been one that's really stood out?
Oh, my God, on the spot.
You have to pick one.
I have to pick one?
Just one?
Just... Oh, no.
Come on.
But that means I'm showing favouritism to all of the artists.
Well, they're not listening, are they? They might be.
Oh, I hope they are. In recent memory, I would say, look, when we did the Wizard of Oz exhibition early this year, I wanted flying monkeys, and somebody did the most amazing... that's Lindsay Walker. She did the most amazing... brutal flying monkey painting I'd ever seen. And
this was for the Oz.
This was the Wizard of Oz one. But even just, it's hard because there's so many mediums. There's like digital illustration and there's oil paintings and they're all awesome. I do like it when somebody does something Star Wars-ish, and that is just me in my pure fan.
So a flying monkey with a Darth Vader helmet would probably do it for you.
With a lightsaber in hand.
A lightsaber.
That would be awesome. But I do, with our Doctor Who exhibition, I am now a new fan myself of Doctor Who.
What's brought you round?
I think just spending a month with the TARDIS in my gallery.
That must have been hardcore. Do you know what I mean? Like having something like the TARDIS, and it was the exact dimensions on the outside.
Yes, and surprisingly, it was smaller on the inside. And
Well, no, the TARDIS, you wouldn't have the dimensions on the inside. Wouldn't be possible.
It felt small. It felt pokey and tiny. But look, because we knew we were having that exhibition coming up, and look, I know Star Wars fans, and I know Trekkies, and Doctor Who fans were a complete different kettle of fish. They were hardcore. I got schooled really quickly on so much of the history of,
But for Doctor Who fans, the thing is, that's just intergenerational as well. So you're dealing with totally older, much older than Star Wars
The amount of dads and mums who are coming into the gallery and then also bringing their kids in, and the kids are like 10 or 11, and all of them are just standing there going, oh, my God. It was just like, this is awesome, because that's the thing.
It's
just trans.
Very scary.
Well, no, it was great.
No, it is scary. No. The whole Doctor Who thing is terrifying me.
I'm doing... Well, how's your rewatch going? No.
No, it's not.
I started
your watch.
My watch from 2005, and I'm loving it.
From 2005? That's different.
You
have to start right from the beginning, Mark, really, to know the pain.
No, but
to all those Doctor Who fans out there, no worries is all I can say. Good on you for loving something so unique.
It's good. It is good.
Lovely. I love it. I mean it. I do. I love it.
Oh, okay.
But I just have trouble digesting all of it from 50 years. It's a bit hardcore is the word. But I do want to play something special for you. Since you are the Star Wars fan, you have to guess what track this is. Uh-oh. It's not fair, is it?
No, it's totally,
no, this is Sci-Fi and Squeam being cruel to its guests. only on Joy 94.9. Oh, this is my favourite bit. Yes, they're going down into the asteroid plane, into the asteroid, big one, into the mouth of the thing.
Of the thing.
The big monster thing. Ah, Mark. Good times.
Yeah. Awesome part of the film.
That, of course, is from Star Wars number 5, I believe it's called. Number 5 is alive. It is The Empire Strikes Back, 1980, with Harrison Ford and this lady here.
Hi, this is Carrie Fisher, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Good on her, too.
I love hearing that. I
do. I play it again and again when I'm home, in bed,
it's sort of like
dreaming.
She's laying there next to you in bed.
Well,
hi.
She did have a gay husband. You never know. Love that Carrie Fisher, our princess with the bangs. But to wrap up the evening, because it is getting close, in a moment or two, I will actually ask of Mark what's happening next for Fanboy Gallery in a moment. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Tara Buck. I play Ginger, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. We'll be wrapping it up shortly. Mark is laughing cheerily because we're having a good time. We were listening to Star Wars. We've been talking about the Princess Leia phenomenon.
Talking about Princess
and
Leia.
And speaking about ladies now. Ladies in popular culture.
Ladies in popular
culture.
Tell
us what's going on here.
Well, our next exhibition, which we have lined up in May at Artboard Gallery, is all about, we called it Ladies' Night. And it's a celebration of women in pop culture.
So why? No,
because
I mean, it's great, but why? What sort of ladies are we talking about?
We're talking about femme fatales. We're talking about strong, independent women. We're talking tough chicks and mega bitches. Like,
yay.
You know, anyone from... you know, like,
we'll name some.
Like Regina George from Mean Girls, or the Heathers, or you know, Joan Ferguson, or the Freak from Prisoner. You know, these are some real sort of tough, strong, iconic.
They are strong, iconic ladies.
Iconic,
they really are.
People in pop culture. You know, and as I said, you know, Princess Leia, and of course, there's people like Sarah Connor, Ellen Ripley, you know,
Ripley.
I mean, that's the thing. If you were to choose one person...
I think for me it would be Ripley.
Ripley, yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to say Ripley.
Look, I'm
Alien.
I do
Aliens
love
franchise.
Ripley.
Yeah.
And Sarah Connor, I think, was a really, really strong... Obviously, in Alien...
Yeah, but it was
no,
all...
the other film.
Yeah, no, but for Terminator franchise. But for her, it was all about that man, you know, because Ripley didn't have time for romance or anything like that. Whereas Sarah Connor, you always had this feeling like it's all about her being impregnated eventually and by a human man, and she has to go through this terrible stress and burden that she carries, basically, so she can protect some son from a one-night stand relationship.
That's
I don't know,
true.
Because Ripley, she ain't got time for that. She doesn't want to be impregnated by the alien, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So we've put a call out for all artists, hobby artists, amateur artists,
fan art,
just
draw,
paint.
Where can people find out more?
You can find out more on artboygallery.com. Just follow the links to the Fanboy versus Artboy page there, and all the details are on the entry form. Or our Facebook is Artboy Gallery. Just search for that. And basically, it's an open call for anybody and everybody to submit their favourite pop cultured woman.
Yeah. And we'll put more of those links on our Facebook page for Sci-Fi and Scream. Thank you so much, Mark Huntington.
Thank you. It's been awesome.
Art boy coming in.
That's
talking fan art.
Ah, love it.
Love it. Thank you so much. And pleasure. Thanks to everybody for listening tonight. Next week, more fan stuff. We're doing How the Fans Were Won, Part 2. So we have some more delectable little interviews coming from other conventions. So we'll talk to you soon. Stay geeky, Melbourne,
yes.
as they say, and stay tuned to Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Gail Simone, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.